to the Just Reply podcast. I'm Mitch Green, and this is the podcast where me and my good friend Josh Jackson from Michigan just take turns asking each other questions. This is just a little project between us, one to just continue to grow our friendship and just have some fun with one another while Josh lives in Michigan and I live here in Indiana. And so today we're actually going to try something a little different. We're going to do kind of a rapid fire question version of the Just Reply podcast, where I'm going to ask Josh a question. He's got to reply on the spot, and then he's going to flip it to me. And so today Josh is going to actually launch in with the first question. So Josh, you ready to take it away?
I'm ready. And I just for clarity, I'm not from Michigan.
Yes, I'm from Indiana. I want to say that every time.
I'm a Hoosier at heart, just living in Michigan currently, but that's okay. I'll fire away first. Me and you and our wives have been pretty interested in this. And so the first question is Enneagram based. And so if you don't know what the Enneagram is, I highly recommend you look into it. But Mitch, you're a two, right?
So this is an issue, Josh. So on the last podcast, I believe I said I was a two, but I think I'm actually a seven. Is that correct?
I definitely see seven in you.
What are you again? You're a seven. Okay. Yeah. While we're here, I'm literally just going to look it up.
So the two is the helper.
Yeah, so, which I think
when you said you were a two, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think I'm a two. I legit think I'm a two. But it's funny because when we, you know, like as we said, we're trying to do these things on the fly.
Yeah.
Which means we're going to say things that make us sound stupid sometimes. And I said that, and I was listening back to it later, and I was like, you know what? I actually may not be a two. So I'm pulling up my results right here as we speak.
Pull them up. My question isn't what is your number.
I'm a two seven.
You're a two and then seven next.
Yes,
that makes sense. Also, by the way, podcast world, I have a 18-month-old daughter that's running around. So if you hear that, that's just my life.
Oh, and the Jacksons are about two, three weeks from baby. What are we?
Baby number two. Yes, two weeks.
Oh,
okay. So my question is, so you have your results pulled up now.
Yes, I do.
My question is there something, and maybe there isn't, so maybe this question's a bust, but is there something that the Enneagram has taught you about yourself that you didn't know or that you didn't have words for?
Oh man. I don't know. The second part would be a really good answer that I don't have words for, but the problem is I actually have a lot of words about it. So we did the Enneagram during our marriage counseling before we were getting married. And so when I was brought to light the issues of the two, one of the things that was being shared with me, the pastor, Jason Gallman, asked me, he said, do you have a tendency when you help people, again, the two's the helper, do you have a tendency to help people out of receiving, you know, positive feedback, getting affirmation, or are you just generally kind of sacrificially helping people? And it was funny, this had happened about 2 days after the story I'm about to tell you. So my wife was living in our current house at the time, and I didn't live there yet. And it was a Friday, and I'm off on Fridays. And so Friday, I go over there, and I clean the whole house. I mean, I just, because my wife just loves a clean house, and we're still dating, so I'm trying to impress her. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to clean this whole house for her, even though I don't live in it. And, you know, something that seems super sacrificial. And so I clean the whole house, and right as she comes home from work, I'm getting ready to go to a football game with a friend. And so my friend walks in the door, and as Brandon walks in the door, I begin to take him through everything in the house and show him what I've cleaned, show him all the work that I've done all day. And so I'm walking through the house and I'm showing him all these things. And then JC comes in, and JC's my wife. And so as I walk down the stairs, I turn around and I say, "You're welcome." And she goes, "What?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, you didn't say thank you." And so the Enneagram definitely brought to light for me that while I do love to help people, there is this deep rooted part of it that is really, I like to experience affirmation through helping people.
Totally.
What's not always my entire motivator, but definitely something that I was like, oh man, I need to watch that. Like, what are my motives when I'm helping people? So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that was a huge revelation for me. So, all right.
Nice.
I'm going to go for a fun one for you here. This is going to be totally different.
Okay.
If you could play any position in sports, anything, any mm-hmm. sport, any position, money, I don't want money to be a factor.
Cool.
Don't think yep. about that. Just position okay. you would want to play on a sports team, what would it be and why?
I have a question. Am I good at it? If I play it, does that mean I'm good at it?
Yeah, you are a professional. Okay. You are good. Let's not okay. say you're like a Hall of Famer, but you're good.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, without a doubt, quarterback of a football team.
I knew it was going to be that.
Like, in the CTE, you know, the concussion, you know, things are scary. I think quarterbacks typically are, you know, exempt from that because they're not getting hit, especially in today's NFL. Mm. And I just would love, you know, if I'm going to be a pro athlete, I might as well be a celebrity superstar, awesome guy who's running the team. And I love the leadership aspect of it. And yep, definitely quarterback. Pretty easy. I mean, I think like point guard in the NBA maybe, but like 18 or 82 games as opposed to,
yeah.
you know, 16 to 20 max a year, mm-hmm. like definitely quarterback.
Yeah. My only factor that would make me consider something else is the amount of pressure on the quarterback.
Totally. Position. I thought about that.
Like, that would be the only thing that would make me consider playing. Like, a point guard would be nice.
Yeah.
Because you're pretty involved, but I think you could also kind of, you know, be a little bit more in the background a bit.
My second choice would probably not actually be, it would be if I'm good at it and I'm terrible at this, but it would be a pro golfer.
just for the fun of it? Or
for the fun, for the ease, the life. I mean, I just can't imagine it, there being a better life than just playing golf.
I love golf, but my problem is they play, like, they start on Thursdays, and if they're doing well, they end on Sundays.
Yeah.
So that's 4 days of, like.
But, like, how many times? Like, twice a month?
No, it's weekly, man.
Weekly? Yeah. Okay, I mean, I still stand by my quarterback thing, so it's okay.
All right, cool. That's fine. Sounds good. All right.
All right, number two for you. We'll do kind of a fun one, too. So this is involving kids. So you're able to so this is like you have to pick one or the other. So you have two kids
okay.
that are a minimum. Or, no, we'll just say exactly. So you have two kids that are 8 years apart, or you have triplets.
Two kids that are 8 years apart or triplets.
Yep.
Oh man, that is so tough. I my quick reaction again. I have to be on the spot. I'm gonna go with triplets. My thinking there is this: that I am 10 years older than my younger yep. sister Lily, and I have a great relationship with Lily. It's super fun. But there were parts when I was becoming a college student when I felt like I really couldn't be a totally. Sibling to her. Like, it was like I was out of the home and I was doing my own thing and she's trying to grow up. And so it just felt like there was so much distance there. And just to think about, like, my age right now, if I'm going to have a kid today, which yep. is not going to happen, and then I'm going to have
That's
a kid
true.
8 years down the That's road, man, that puts me at like 60 when that kid's yep. in college, like going to college. And so I'm going to go with the triplets. Also from the sports oh, side, man, I think it'd be sick, pretty yeah. awesome to have, like, especially like if two of them are boys that can just train with one another, you know, totally. Just make them like some elite, like, you know, QB wide receiver, wrestlers, like whatever it would be. Well, I just say that because wrestling is the easiest sport for like common people to gotcha. Practice together. People of the same size, like, where it's like not a lot of other sports to be successful, you have True. To be very different. Like, can't be like cute. You can't be like, oh, one's going to be a center and one's going to be a quarterback True. Or one's going to be a running back. They've got to be so different. So I mean, but yeah, I think I'm going.
That's good.
Triplets. because of the sports and because of the fact that that's just a long gap to have kids. And at my age, man, I would be an old dad.
Yep. So, all right, you next.
No, so you're up. So here's one for you. So as we said, you know, you're a worship leader. What is one worship song that you absolutely hate leading?
I have one song I immediately think of, but it's actually just a part of like a bigger genre. But the song I would say is a song called Shine a Light. I think it's Elevation. It's like Shine a Light, Shine a Light. So it's in the greater genre of the jumpy hype, like fun worship stuff.
Oh, what's that Hillsong one? Do you like that? It's what is it called? It's like
there's one.
I get it. It's got a big instrumental break. Come Alive.
You know the songs. All of those.
I Come Alive. Yeah.
All of those songs. I can't. I can't fake jumpy, energetic person, but I have to, or it's that much worse. So it's so awkward. Yeah, and especially when there's like instrumental breaks, and I'm like playing the acoustic guitar, which is like not even a cool instrument to play, so it's just awkward. But yeah, Shine a Light. I think it's Elevation. That would be my first one, I would say. And for the most part, any of the fun, energetic, like jumpy songs. Bethel has one called Deep Cries Out that there's like legit a dance break in the middle. It's like to the left, to the left. And I'm like, want to die. And I had to sing that once at a church in Las Vegas. It was miserable. So.
Okay. That I can see that. The good news for you is there's not very many of those upbeat
songs. That's true.
And there's really only like one spot you ever put them in a service, which is the end. Totally. So that helps you out. But no, that's funny. I could see you not enjoying reading those.
All right. This question is going to take a little bit of thinking, I think, because it's kind of a weird worded question. So what would be the worst job that you would take if you made $500,000 a year? So you can like start thinking of maybe some bad jobs. Like, okay, I do that. And like try to get to your like the worst job. Maybe it's like there's you do anything, but you go.
500 grand a year. Is my relationship with my wife great? Is all other factors fine? It's just I have to do this for, let's say,
50 hours a week. Totally. Let's just assume that you don't have to do something that's like immoral. Like I'm not going to ask you to stand on the streets, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I understand. Okay. I was definitely thinking I would work at a horse stable.
Fun.
I know. I would clean up horse crap. That was the first thing that came to my mind was I would do something like that. But man, there are a lot of manual labor jobs that as you know, my short stint in construction was like one of the most depressing times of my life. So I can't imagine like going back to that construction demo crew where I was doing that concrete work. I could not imagine doing that even if I was making $500,000. Like, that's my reference. Woo. That's my reference. Dude, I was so depressed. I was so miserable.
Man, that's impressive. Yeah, I would do a lot worse than construction.
I know, but there are things that, like, I would paint. There's a lots of things
I was thinking of questions, I told my wife, I would clean porta-potties every day.
Yeah, man, that's that's a tough one. So I don't know. I mean, I think I would have to have some sort of relational energy from whatever I'm doing 365 days a year. And so for me, like once you start to break that point, it's really the money doesn't become a factor.
Easy to buy. But no, that's good. I think that means you have better character than me. No,
it's just, I remember the season where I was working in construction 60 hours a week. And literally all I could do was go to sleep after. And I was like, I've never been as depressed as I was. And I can't imagine going back to that for $1 million a year. Like, I just can't, even imagine it. So I don't know. And construction,
you can
not
like
awful.
Buy more just, time in the day with $1 million a year.
Yeah. But man, my wife's so frugal. We would just save it.
That's true.
So it would have no benefit to me. Like, and the day in, day out, it would just mean I don't know how it would really benefit. I mean, obviously it would, but that's so good. I don't know.
All right, last one.
All right. I think I've only given you 2 questions. Have I given you 3 questions?
No, you're right, because I asked the first one.
No, that's true. Okay, all right. Question for you. Are you ready? Okay. And this is a parenting question. So, what is your least favorite? And Indy's young, so maybe you have to imagine here. What is your least favorite activity that you have to do with your daughter to entertain her? Is there like something that she likes to do?
Totally.
Is there something that you just are like, I hate doing this, but I have to do this because I love her.
I mean, my least favorite activity is changing her diaper, but that's not to entertain her.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking like, is there a movie she watches? Is there
so far the only stuff that she really watches? It's really just like 2 shows, and one of them is Doc McStuffins, which is a great show, honestly.
I actually listened to an NPR on Doc McStuffins. It's really good. Really interesting. Talking about just the African-American role model on kids' television.
Yeah, it's
kind of
it's really good.
How that just doesn't exist.
We let her watch Little Einsteins on the phone every now and then if we're at a restaurant or if we're shopping. If I had to watch that with her, that would be terrible because I hate that show. There's a little girl on here.
I know nothing about it.
There's a little girl on there that like sings, and she always is off pitch and off beat. It's like they purposely made her bad to make like people, like kids that aren't musical, feel better or something. But no, I would say, there's nothing really now. I would think that like playing, you know, being on the ground is hard. It's not, you know, it's not comfortable. So it sounds like a terrible parent to say, I don't like getting on the ground and playing with her. I do it, and there are definitely some positive things about it, but there are negatives with like, I just hate sitting on the ground.
There's no good way to sit on the ground.
I'm just really bony and achy, and I'm just like, this is terrible.
And I'm not very flexible at all. Yep. That's funny. Okay.
Yeah,
that would be my answer. I like it.
All right, last one for you, and this is like super cliche, but I just don't know who yours would be, but who would be the person that you would have a meal with that can be living or dead?
any one person.
I'll add a caveat because it's my question. No biblical characters because that's kind of boring.
We might get some crying.
Did you hit your head? My daughter hit her head. It's okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you my answer. My, they change all the time. I just add people to the list of people that I'm like, I want to read what they say. I want to know.
Okay. Here, we're going to pause this. Indy, say hi. Say hi to the podcast. Say hi. Notice how I say hi and she stops crying. Okay.
Can she hear me?
Yes, she can hear you. Say hi.
All right, let's go for this. Let's go see if I can get this to go. Old McDonald had a farm.
Nice.
Oh, baby, we got it live.
Right on the podcast. That's good.
That was awesome.
Good job,
that
baby. So all right, cool. finish your answer.
Perfect. We might have cut that out, but I think we have to leave it in now.
Yep.
So that was too perfect. Okay, so I'm going to go with, for me, the most recent one that stays on my list is Dallas Willard.
Good.
And the reason for that is because the amount of people that I also respect who attribute so much of their ministry work to Dallas Willard. And so I just think I would love to hear some of his wisdom on life and philosophy and ministry and theology. And I would love to spend time with him because of the amount of people I know he's impacted. But if I can give you a second one, I mean, it changes all the time. I would love to spend time with Eugene Peterson.
Yep, he just died.
I mean, I've been just with his recent death. You know, I mean, there's a long list of voices that are affecting the world and ministry that I would love to just like just take a little bit of information.
Okay, give me the 5-second non. Like more celebrity, just like kind of cool meal with someone.
Oh man. Well, I got 2 that came quickly to mind. I love Bon Jovi. I've been a Bon Jovi fan.
I kind of was waiting for that. Yep.
It would be awesome. It would be so awesome to meet Bon Jovi. The dude's like, I mean, he owns sports teams. He does it all. He would be cool. And then Kevin James.
Yes,
I identify so much with Kevin James, and I think we legit would have a pretty
good would be amazing.
I think it would be pretty awesome with That's Kevin good. James. So that would be my second one. All right. Last question. Are we last question? We have one more. All right. So last question for you, and this is one we can kind of tag team. So I know we care a lot about this stuff, and so and again, this is cold. I mean, we've not really thought about this. We're just kind of talking, and so thinking a lot lately, obviously, about what happened in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
This weekend, and I assume by now, those who are listening would know just about the situation with the Jewish Community Center, and so I just want to take a few minutes to just kind of get your thoughts on how should we respond as Christians? What do you wish the church was doing as it relates to politics? I get this mm-hmm. as a heavy hitter. I want your thoughts. I want your kind of fresh thoughts since it was just this weekend. And then I'd love to just even kind of process it a bit with you as we kind of sign
up. Yeah. I mean, I would say that as pastors, you know, the pastors that are leading congregations, which isn't really me, you definitely lead a big portion of the congregation. But I would want my pastors to start engaging in a conversation about violence and about, you know, especially like vengeful violence and just, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's weapons or anything along those lines and what Jesus has to say about them. And because I think that in American Christianity, our view of war and our view of violence and, you know, the whole, well, someone comes into my house and has a gun, like I'm still going to take them out. Like I think that Jesus would call that into question. And I think that I would want, you know, my pastors to very, you know, gracefully. And I think that I don't want people to just, you know, if you don't believe this or you love war or whatever, like get out of my church. I think that you can do it in a respectful way that honors Jesus and loves your people. But I think that's where the question has to start.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because it's, I mean, it kind of goes back to, you know, when Peter slices that dude's ear off, you know, and Jesus is so quickly, you know, telling Peter, stop, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, and then Jesus literally picks up the dude's ear off the ground, reattaches it, and then Peter and them run off, you know, it's like, that's really the only point we see of like man takes physical conflict and Jesus jumps in and responds, you know, and his response is, you know, not one of fear. It's one of, you know, trusting God. And this is the plan. That's what's supposed to happen. Where Peter's response is like, I'm fearful. Let's pick up a sword. I'm a fisherman and I'm going to attack this dude.
I just think even the command of like, love your enemy is so much more radical than we think. And, or love your neighbor and your enemy. Like your neighbor is not like the people you get along with. It's the people you don't have things in common with, you know, like the Samaritan. And then love your enemy is what it sounds like, loving your enemy. And I think that we don't take that seriously. I think that that's what those questions need to be asked. If you are someone that, you know, is okay with just war or, you know, is stuff like that, I think you have to be able to say, this is what I think about when Jesus says, love your enemy. And I think when I think of like one of the first like stories I remember hearing as a Christian in high school was the end of the spear guy. You remember that? Like that was such a huge going through that in youth group. And maybe there's a movie we watched and I just remember hearing about it. Like these guys went to tribe and they got killed. And I'm sure like if they wanted to, they could have been packing and those like tribal people with spears would have had nothing on them, but they're like, no, we're going to show the love of Christ. And then after all the whole team gets killed, their wives and families and other people go to that tribe again, not packing, not like what ready to kill, like just to keep showing the love of Christ. And then eventually they won and they, you know, that community was changed.
Yeah. And it's this other worldly perspective. It's this fact that, you know, we approach the world knowing that our security is fine and we are, you know, Christ has already paid the price for us. And so there's not this fear that we walk in that says, oh, I got to protect everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's this, but that's just seems to be this kind of undertone of, you know, everything we do is operating out of fear for what could be or what, you know, and we make decisions that I don't know if they're really decisions that are made in light of what
Christ totally
is. So and that's a piece of it. I think the other angle is just, you know, and I've been seeing a lot of this, is just that Jesus, you know, Jesus is Jewish, yeah. You know, and so like we should mourn totally. This. We should, you know, I mean, it, like there's two sides of it where it's like Paul writes a lot on to the Jews telling them that, you know, hey, the Gentiles are, you know, a part of our faith. They're a part of our family, but they don't need to practice these things. And so I think that's made us like as Christians today, look at the Jews and just kind of completely cast it out in the sense of like, well, they're all about the law and they're all about these rules and they're all about, but the fact of the matter is like, just as much as Paul was saying, you know, okay, they don't need to focus on the law, he was still saying that they're one and the same, a part of the same yep. family, you know, in Christ. And so I just think there's a piece of it too there where it's like, I think we as Christians have kind of ignored the relationship with Judaism so much that, like, I don't know, I'm interested just to see how a lot of people would respond to that totally. Question, yep. you know, if it's like, we got to get more guns, or if it's like, you know, well, they have
or even, us. Or even like the, say. This, the guy that they arrested there, you know, it's like 21, 25 counts of hate crime, all this stuff. And it's a federal prosecution mm-hmm. and they've already released that the federal prosecutor is going to go for the death penalty. And I don't think the yeah. Christians should be rooting for it. Like,
yeah,
that's a whole other thing. But I think that it's all encompassing into this violence thing. And I think when you look at Jesus, he's pretty anti-violence. So I think that's where I would want my pastors to just start questioning. Maybe not from the pulpit. Maybe just in a relationship.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, there. I think that we as Christians are supposed to be engaged in yep. politics. Like, I think Jesus is King. Jesus is a Lord is one of the most politically charged statements of the first century. I stole that from our podcast, you know, Idol by Gary, but at the same time, I don't know if all of this, I think there are ways you totally. Can reach on this, but I don't think it's something where it's like, you need to build every message around some sort of social justice so, issue. I think it's just don't ignore it when it yep. comes up, like for the favor of keeping yeah. people, you know, I think we need to be honest really. About this. So.
All right, man. Well, right. thanks for the questions. And this was fun instead of doing like separate recordings, kind of all talking together. But you got a meeting and I got to go be with my family as I was working all day. So thank you for listening to the Just Reply podcast. I hope you enjoy it. And like I said in the first couple of podcasts, I hope if anything, this inspires you to do something creative and fun with your
friends
that you haven't, you know, maybe haven't talked to in a while. So. Have a great day or week or whenever you listen to this. I hope things are going great for you. So thanks for listening. I'm Josh. That's your cue. You're Mitch.
I'm Mitch. There you go.